Good morning and welcome to the Fantasy Blink, a fantasy sports podcast. I am Brian Baines, and I am your host. It is Tuesday, February 13, episode number 723, and it is Super Bowl time. Yeah, time to talk about it. It's over. It's over, and as predicted, right here on the Blink, Kansas City does it again. Back-to-back champions. And what a game, though. It was fantastic all the way to the end, of what would have been the first overtime. New rules. Apparently there are new rules. San Francisco, take note of this. If you make it back next year, you will want to know exactly how overtime works. Apparently they didn't do their homework in advance, did not know that. Both teams get an opportunity with the ball no matter what, so does not necessarily behoove you to take the ball first. In fact, I would argue, and we, as we were watching the game, we were arguing that it made more sense to go defense first so you know what it is you're up against, right? So you know if the other team scores a field goal, you know that all you need is a field goal to tie and keep the game going, or you can push it a little harder and go for the touchdown. Or if they score a touchdown, you know that you'll be going on every fourth down, no matter what. It kind of clarifies game plan and what you know that you need to have. San Francisco apparently didn't know that, chose to take the ball, went down and almost got to the end zone, but ended up with a field goal, and of course Kansas City marches straight back down the field, and with just a couple seconds left in the first overtime, it would have kept going into a second overtime, Patrick Mahomes finds Mecole Hardman in the right side of the end zone for the winning touchdown. 25-22 is your final score there. And the Chiefs are champions again. Patrick Mahomes, 34 for 46, 333 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. He had nine carries for 66 yards, the all-important 66 yards. It seems like every time he runs, it is important. He doesn't waste it, that's for sure. And he knows when to run, and he knows where to run, and he knows what he needs. And he rarely is denied. Isaiah Pacheco, not a great day on the ground for him. 18 carries, 59 yards. Did have six catches for 33. Travis Kelce, quietly, very quietly. It did not feel like he had accumulated this much, but he was nine catches for 93 yards. Leading receiver, Mecole Hardman, as mentioned before, three catches, 57 yards, and a touchdown for him. Justin Watson, three for 54. Rashi Rice was six for 39. Noah Gray, 2 for 22, could have made some money there. I believe both of those receptions and yardage would have been over. MVS, 3 catches, 20 yards, and a touchdown for him. On the other side of the ball, Brock Purdy didn't play a bad game. 23 for 38, 255, one touchdown, no interceptions. Ran the ball 3 times for 12 yards. Juwan Jennings was your guy, though. He had one pass, one completion, 21 yards and a touchdown, threw a little pass there to Christian McCaffrey for the touchdown. McCaffrey was 22 carries, 80 yards, 8 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown through the air. Brandon Ayuk, 3 for 49. Juwan Jennings, again, playing an important role, 4 for 42 and 1. And, man, he was open for another touchdown, too, if they just would have had time. If Brock Purdy would have had time to get the ball out. But he did not and could not find Jennings for the overtime touchdown, and they ended up settling for a field goal. Deebo Samuel, 3 for 33, and Juszczyk was 2 for 31. So this one played out. It was, even with the overtime, still made the under at 47. 47.5 was the over-under on this one. So, tight game throughout. Nobody ever really got out to a big lead. Niners score first, I believe. Yes, they did with a long field goal. Was the longest field goal in Super Bowl history. And then Harrison Butker dropped one on top of that, made an even longer field goal, and Mooney had another over 50 yards. So all three field goals in the game were over. Well, actually, there were four field goals. So three of the four field goals were over 50 yards. The fourth coming in overtime was a chip shot there were more field goals than that too. I think Butker had some chip shots too. So it wasn't all the long ones, but there were long ones and record setting long ones. So a lot of field goals, a lot of defense, and you know, was a good game throughout. Like I said, never got nobody ever got too big of a lead to feel like they were safe or comfortable throughout. And in the end, the experience does it, right? The Chiefs have just been there. They've been there enough times and know what to do in these situations. They don't panic. And again, I think a major mistake by the coaching staff of San Francisco not deferring in the overtime to see what they had to work with, because then you know you're going on fourth down throughout. If the Chiefs go down and score a touchdown right away, you know what you need to get. So just a blunder. You gotta know it all. You gotta know the rules. You gotta know what you're getting into. And I think they, you know, the announcers tried to play it off to maybe they felt like their defense had been on the field too long and needed a rest, and maybe that was why they went. But it came out later that from many of the players that they just simply did not know the rules. The overtime rules, the new overtime rules. So, not great. So in my challenge that I covered last Friday, right, the fantasy points challenge, I was hoping to win a free subscription there. Came up quite a bit short of that. Out of the 36 questions, I only scored 17.5 points. I was feeling pretty good. I hit some early, but they just weren't valuable ones. They just weren't the big point ones. You know, you really needed to hit some of those outliers. I know it was for the last, what was going to be the last play of the game, a Kansas City touchdown was like, that was worth like 6 points. And that would have been, that would have been nice. I went with a kneel down, went with the more common, but I got the over right on the national anthem. I got the coin toss right. I got they didn't show Taylor Swift during the anthem. I got that right. There were some that I hit right first. There was a sack first instead of a touchdown. I got that one. Players attempt. I got the over 2.5 play, or the 2.5 or over players to attempt a pass. With Juwan Jennings' touchdown pass, nailed that one. Shortest touchdown was over 1.5 yards. I got that one. The bad blood penalties, I got two of those. I got 2 points for that one. Picked up a point on the over, and I picked up a point on the Chiefs winning. I got points for Mahomes being the MVP. You know, I picked up, but it was just a lot of little stuff. I didn't hit any of the big point ones. So I was at 17.5 points, and the 10th place person, the last person to qualify for the subscription was 37.5 points. So I was 20 points off that. 43.5 was the winner. So they had to have hit a lot of outliers, a lot of good ones. Record, it was a record 123.4 million viewers for this Super Bowl, and they got their money's worth, definitely. Halftime show, I guess, was good. It's not that I'm not an Usher fan. When he was a thing, apparently I wasn't listening to music a whole lot because I just didn't know any of the songs. I knew I recognized one song that they played the entire time, and listening to or talking to Usher fans, it sounds like they really enjoyed it, and it was a really good halftime show overall. So, you know, kudos there. That was good. Commercials. Breaking down the commercials, I was reading through a USA Today article. They ranked the top 10 commercials, the Doritos, Dina, and Mita. Dina, Mita was number 10. The Verizon Beyonce commercial was number 9. The Budweiser Old School, didn't really care for that one, but it was number 8. BMW with Christopher Walken was actually really funny. Enjoyed that one. That was number 7. The Dove Hard Knocks, the girls competing in sports, that commercial was number 6. NFL number 5, that was Born to Play, where they followed the kid in Africa, I believe it was, and the international flavor to the NFL. Uber Eats with Jennifer Aniston was pretty funny. That came in at number 4 with David Schwimmer and not remembering working with him for 10 years. The Kia electric car commercial was pretty cool with the ice skating. The kid ice skating and the Kia lights up the whole pond so Grandpa can watch her performance. That was cool. I didn't even see the Dunkin' Donuts commercial that came in at number 2. I wasn't paying attention when that one came on, but that was fantastic. Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, the whole crew in there, Tom Brady. So the Dunkin' Donuts, that was a classic. That was a great commercial. So if you did not see that, like me, if you missed that one, not sure when it rolled out, check that one out on YouTube. And the number one ranked commercial was the State Farm. The Arnold commercial was pretty hilarious too. So those were your top commercials, and overall it was a good day. Good afternoon of football, very enjoyable. Of course I wanted the 49ers to win, and that did not happen, but hey, what are you gonna do? You know, it's the Chiefs, and they just seem to keep on racking them up. Andy Reid and Travis Kelce, the big question marks. They are coming back because, of course, they want to chase the three-peat, which I don't believe has ever been done. So they will strap it on again and get after it, which is good for those of us that have a little Travis Kelce in dynasty leagues. It gives you at least another year of his excellence, or B, if you look at it from another point of view, another perspective, it gives you another opportunity to maybe trade him away at 35 years old, which is where he'll be next year. And we saw a little what felt like a little bit of a slip, but it really wasn't. If you look at the numbers, he was the most consistent tight end in the league in fantasy all year long, and he was still number 2 in overall fantasy points as well. And then in the playoffs, you just saw him completely turn it on and show you what and why he is the best tight end in the NFL. So another year at least of Travis Kelce, another year Andy Reid. I didn't honestly believe he was going anywhere anyway. More Patrick Mahomes. Isaiah Pacheco's not going anywhere. Rashee Rice had a good breakout rookie season. They'll be a team to be reckoned with. As will the 49ers. They're not going anywhere either. They'll have to figure out probably what to do Brock Purdy-wise. You can't continue to pay him $800,000 a year forever. But they will get a discount at least for a little while longer because it's only his second year. And, you know, he's going to be... pretty sure he would be on a four-year contract. So they're going to be operating with space, under the cap or money that they can spend in other ways for at least another year before they have to figure out what they're going to do with him long term. But everybody else should be pretty well in place. Not sure. I know McCaffrey is good to go. Debo is good to go. Kittle's good to go. Bosa, I believe, is good to go. It might be an Ayuk year. They might have to figure out what to do with Brandon Ayuk, but for the most part, that team is locked and loaded and ready, I'm sure, for another run at it on the NFC side of it. So more to come. We'll talk more fantasy football and, you know, start getting into fantasy baseball. We're not very far away. Pitchers and catchers will be reporting here shortly, and then we'll be firing up spring training before you know it. We're already halfway through a best ball draft with folks from MSD and others that I don't know, but we've been whittling our way through that. We're 20 rounds into a 41 round draft best ball, so we'll be plugging along. Probably we'll be able to finish that up in the next week or so, but it gets pretty thin. 41 rounds into a Major League Baseball draft, start throwing some darts here and there, but it's fun. Starts to get you in the groove, in the mood for baseball, and of course hockey is heating up. We're just a few weeks from the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs in fantasy, as teams are now scrambling for those six playoff spots, and of course the top two teams get the bye in the first round, so that's what everybody's kind of dueling for now. So lots to talk about, lots to cover, and we will hit it all in the coming weeks. Yeah, right. We are a day away from one of my least favorite teaching days of the year, the old Valentine's Day tomorrow. So yeah, do what you got to do. Ignore it if you can, and take care of your significant other if you can't. That's the way you got to kind of handle that one. So all right, that's the wrap up. That's the NFL season in a nutshell, and we'll talk more about it. Right, there's a lot more football to talk about as we get a little tiny bit of a break, and then it's on to the combine and we're already talking NFL draft and moving in that direction and getting rookie drafts going and all that good stuff. So it's never far away, that's for sure. All right, everybody, have a great Tuesday. For the Fantasy Blink, the music's playing, so I'm the commission. I am having it.